11:20 on Wednesday. That means Roddy Nabalsi from UGASports.com jumps on the show. And Roddy, I don't know if you caught any of the show the last couple days, maybe, maybe not. They were giving my guy Randy a hard time for a lot of different reasons. So I got to start by giving praise to the Georgia tight ends and a Georgia tight end number 86 getting in the end zone on Saturday. That had to warm Randy's heart.
It did.
Well, that's what it should. And I think it might make Randy a little jealous to see big Darnell Washington, 6'7", 260 pounds, you know, running like a gazelle over the middle, being that giant target. And when I was watching that pass that Stetson Bennett threw him, I'm thinking, that might be the smallest starter on the team throwing to the biggest starter. It was just it was a heck of a dichotomy there, you know. And Darnell blocked his butt off. I mean, I think he graded out like 77%, one of the highest graded freshmen in the SEC this past week. So, there was a thought. It's like, okay, he's big.
Well, that's what I thought, right? When I saw him play, I was like, this kid plays tough, man. And I got the clip of the chip block that he had. And I was like, that's a steak dinner. You know, that's what our tackles used to buy us steak dinners when we did that. But I was impressed by the young man. And, going back to that game, Roddy, we talked to Shot yesterday. I wanted to get your opinion on it. Was it more the moment was too big, or do they have a lot more to do with it than just that?
For the quarterback situation, you're talking about maybe pulling Dwan and going with Stetson?
Yeah.
Or just the overall?
The overall performance of the starting quarter, of Dwan Mathis.
All right, so for Dwan, I go back and I think of like the 8 penalties they had, you know, in the first five drives there. Every time they did something right, it was called back. Mm-hmm. So, and you could see it, even when he got in the game, when they put him back in the game, he had a long pass down the sideline, and come to find out that Xavier Truss got busted for a hold, and you could just see him shaking his head, and the kid was frustrated because he's like, every time I do something right, somebody else messes up, you know, and sometimes it was on him. You know, he had a couple bad reads, running out of bounds, a yard short from the, you know, tried to convert a third down. So, you know, kid hasn't played in 2 years, and I just think there was a bit of everything going sideways. Some of it was his fault, a lot of it was not. And Kirby's been in these situations before where it's like, look, we're down now. We've got to change this up. We can't continue on this. You know, you got to get out of that funk. You know, you got to try to grab momentum back. The other team has momentum. And if you don't do something to change it, you know, if you don't get a big turnover, you don't change your approach, it's just going to continue. And then all of a sudden you've dug yourself into a hole you can't get out of. Therefore, he brought in Stetson Bennett. And we asked specifically Coach Donovan this the other day. We're like, did they really change the play calls a lot? He said no, because if you think about it, Stetson Bennett, one of his first plays was a quarterback run, you know, off right tackle, which they'd run with Dwan Mathis. So, I think it was just a situation where it was a big stage. He hadn't played in a while. He had the whole weirdness of COVID, and he could not bounce back from other people making mistakes. It caused him to make mistakes, and it snowballed, and Kirby just had to put a stop to it.
Right.
So what do you do this weekend? I mean, it was nice that the defense could hold it down, and, I mean, it was Arkansas, so the firepower offensively isn't going to be quite the same. I don't know that you can afford a start like that against Auburn. What do you do this week to start at the quarterback position?
I mean, if you look at Auburn's offense with, you know, Sean Shivers, Anthony Schwartz, Seth Williams, Bo Nix. Remember, Bo Nix is a heck of a quarterback. You know, he got down to 21-0 to Georgia last year and was leading them back pretty well. And almost, you know, the game didn't end until he barely missed a wide receiver on a third down or fourth down. He threw just behind him, so. That could have given Auburn new life. They could have tied that game up rather easily in the fourth quarter. So Bo is going to be better. So your defense is going to be hard-pressed. They're not going to be able to, you know, have 11 three and outs like they did against Arkansas. And when you look on the defense, you're seeing Big Cat Bryant over there, Owen Papo, KJ Britt. You're like, okay, if you are getting beat on the edges like you did last week, you know, your tackles are getting beat repeatedly, and you've got a quarterback back there that can't move. I was going to say can't move, but who's coming off a knee injury. I just don't see JT Daniels being your guy. Dwan is a much better scrambler. He can get out quicker. We've seen that. He's lightning fast, one of the 5 fastest players on the team, as I mentioned before. So maybe that's a good idea, but you can't get into that hole and try to dig yourself out of it. So I think they're going to go with Stetson Bennett. He's obviously, you know, it's just the experience. And what is Kirby's M.O.? Protect the ball. Don't make mistakes. And that's what he doesn't want. He doesn't want mistakes. He doesn't want anybody endangering the football with a bad decision on a pass or taking a sack when you can just throw it out of bounds. So I think he goes conservative and plays Stetson Bennett.
And with that being said, right, I think they had 33 runs last weekend. Do you see a possibility of having more than that if in fact they do go with Stetson Bennett?
I could see it. I mean, I think they also threw the ball 47 times. I don't remember the last time they've done that.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe last year, South Carolina, probably. And they just, I definitely see that. You've got to get the run game established. If you can't establish a run game, it's not even going to be a bad game against Auburn. It's going to be a bad season because this team is built to run the ball. It'd almost be like, you know, back when Georgia Tech was the option, running that triple option, you know, if they couldn't get the fullback dive to work, you know, it's like, okay, well, then everything else we're doing that's predicated on this is just bad. You know, and teams are going to do that. Teams say, look, you know, we're going to take away your run until you can prove you can beat us through the air. So Georgia just can't, you know, when you put a hat on a hat and they still have another hat or two hats coming at you, you've got to be able to go through the air. So they're going to have to throw it. But if they don't establish the run, it's exactly what Kirby Smart does. He makes teams one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. He learned it from Nick Saban. They go in, they say, what are you good at? What are you bad at? We're going to take away one of those and then force you to do what you're bad at. So Kirby can't go one-dimensional. And when Gus Malzahn sees he's doing that, they'll take advantage of it.
Well, I just don't think – and it's game one. It's a new offensive coordinator, new offensive line pretty much. There's a lot of new faces to sort of integrate into the first game. But I don't think any of us thought the one dimension that the Georgia would get taken away would be the run game. I mean, we talk all summer about how that was going to be something, even if the quarterback position struggled, would be their backbone. I mean, we know that that's what Kirby wants. When you saw the run game struggle on Saturday against Arkansas, why was it? What stood out to you as the issue that the run game was having?
Well, it's the same thing. You can do it to any team, no matter how great a runner they are. If you put two more guys in the box and they have blockers, nobody can run that way. That's exactly what Arkansas did. Kevin Steele is going to do that this weekend. I mean, he's no fool. He's going to say, look, you have trouble doing this. You're great at running the ball. You know, you got great backs. You saw how good Zamir White was. You saw what Kenny McIntosh could do on his big returns. You know, you've got all those big hosses in the middle. You got two good blocking tight ends, you know, and Fitzpatrick and Washington, and hey, you might even get Trey McKinney back.
Yep.
But I don't think you're as good at passing the team. So we're going to put more guys in the box, and you can block. We're going to take away the run. So you have to beat us through the air. We're going to force you to. We don't think you're good at it. So that's exactly what happened at Arkansas. They said, look, you know, we know you can run it. We know you've got great runners. We know that's what you like to do because there's less danger there. But, you know, if we got more defenders and you have blockers, you can't run it. So you open yourself up to being gashed by the pass, and you got to complete those. So I definitely see that's what happened at Arkansas. That's what will happen this weekend. And if Georgia can complete a few passes, back out some of those guys out of the box, then run it, or vice versa, you know, where you say, look, we're going to spread you out and run it on you anyway. That's what's going to happen for Georgia to have success this weekend.
Roddy, overall, how'd you think? I mean, I know as we were going against Felipe Franks, and we knew that we owned him anyways. But I mean, overall, the defensive pressure. I didn't see the pressure that I wanted to see, especially from those outside guys.
Yeah, the outside guys, they kept rolling out because they were worried about Felipe tucking and running. You know, if you go back and watch the film, you'll see Aziz line up on the outside. And he basically mans his area. He doesn't attack. You know. You tell the same thing with Adam Anderson. You know, sometimes he's out there and they'll send him because he's such a great third down guy. And he'll take four steps up the field, get about as deep as the ball, and just kind of stop and camp out, you know, keeping his eye on the backfield, waiting to see if they're going to dump off a pass to the running back who's in there, you know, for protection. But lots of times likes to peel out and they dump it to him. But, you know, they had that guy covered. I did like the pressure that you were getting from your interior linemen. Mm-hmm. Jordan Davis getting in there, mm-hmm. Jalen Carter, Trayvon Walker, those guys collapse the pocket repeatedly. And if you can get that and still have your outside guys just working on containment, I don't know that any offense will be productive against that kind of pressure.
How big of a game is this for Gus Malzahn? They've lost six out of last seven against Georgia. I mean, look, maybe Georgia gets it together and plays really well the rest of the season. Maybe they're not as good as we thought they were going to be. But how big of a game is this for Auburn and for Gus?
it's gigantic. You know, it seems like the last few years, if he's not winning at all, you know, or, you know, beating Alabama, there's all the people that are calling for his job. You know, it's a, and then he goes out in the old, beat a Georgia like they did at home in 2017, and they beat Alabama. And there's like, you know, this guy's the greatest coach of all time. But then, you know, they lose a couple that they're not supposed to, and it drives the fan base crazy. And you have this kind of momentum that builds. We saw it with legendary coaches. We saw it at Texas. We've seen it at Florida State. We've seen it at Georgia, where you have, let's say, out of 100 people, you have 10 of them that say, we need a new coach. Mm-hmm. And they get yelled at, and everyone jumps on them. But then, you know, a year later, you lose the game you're not supposed to. Well, two more people join that, you know. And the other 10 are like, see, we told you. And even though they're getting yelled at, it can build each time they lose one. And eventually, you get more people to come to your side, unless you go out and win a title, which resets everything back to, you know, 100% support. So, and even then, the people who were who made that big statement, oh, we need to get rid of a coach, they're always looking for a chance to prove that they were right. You know, and they get very vocal. So there's that kind of subset of people that are, you know, busting on Gus Malzahn. A win at Georgia on the road would be huge, and he is getting a lot of grief for not being able to beat Georgia. It's the same thing as we see when, you know, Georgia lost, what, 8-9 in a row to Tennessee. It just, they became much bigger than they were. It was this huge boogeyman. It's like, no matter what we do, we can't beat them. Now, the same problem you were having against Florida. So once you beat them a few times, then it feels a lot better. But that is – Georgia is the bugbear in the room with that kind of – that record they've had against them. That, you know, over the last 18 years, it's been pretty one-sided. Mm-hmm. So I think that they would be huge for Gus Malzahn.
Roddy, we appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, homie. Appreciate
Looking
it, my brother.
Looking forward to Saturday night in Athens. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, homie.
All right, guys. Take care.